As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred here with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage with a throwback, Coolest Conversations from September the 8th, 2017. An interview I did with Alice Cooper after the release of his 20th album, Paranormal. We talk about the new album, his career, his passion for golf, and how it saved him. You know, he's even played golf with our very own Kid Leo. At the time, our coolest song of the week was Genuine American Girl, a track that reunited him with members of the original Alice Cooper band. So let's hear some of that now, and then I'll be joined by Alice Cooper on your Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I do my hair, I paint my nails, it pours outside, it never fails. So the makeup runs down my pretty face. I'm a muddy mess, a Mac disgrace. But when I leave this room tonight, I'm gonna look and feel alright.
This is the Mighty Manfred. I am so honored today to be speaking with Alice Cooper. Hi, Alice. How are you?
Manfred, how you doing, buddy? I listen to you all the time.
Oh, yes. Keeping it in the garage. So I don't know if I got my numbers straight here, but I think Paranormal is like your 27th album, right? Including
27th album.
Wow, yeah. Man. Yeah. Rock and roll's been pretty good to you overall, right?
You know what? If you keep it rocking, I think you can go on as long as you want to go. Our band has always been. I'm born in Detroit, so my DNA is guitar rock, and I'll never ever move away from that. It just every once in a while you catch a break, and you know this album just seems to be taking off. So I'm very very proud of it. Yeah.
Oh man! Well, it's all started with the Earwigs and a talent show, right?
Yeah, well, we were in high school. We, 15 years old, and I'm painting the house, and it's summertime, and all of a sudden I hear on the radio, doo-doom, doo-doom, she loves you, yeah, 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 and it stopped me cold, and that was my beginning of my love with the British invasion right there. So we started a band immediately at 15 years old, and it was the guys, Dennis Dunaway and who ended up being in the original Alice Cooper band. Right. And I call myself a lifer. I'm like you. I'm a lifer.
So first, I guess the Earwigs, my understanding is it's like a talent show sort of thing. But then you formed with Dennis. You had the Spiders. And as a garage band, you put out a couple of records before the Alice Cooper band, right? A couple of singles at least.
I was absolutely shocked the other day. Kid Leo played Don't Blow Your Mind by the Spiders, and it was like number two in Phoenix. I mean, it was a big, big record in Phoenix, but you talk about garage rock. That song was pure garage rock. I mean, we wanted so much to be the Yardbirds, that we everything that we touched tried to sound like the Yardbirds, and that was as close as we could get.
Well, off the new album, the track is that's our coolest song in the world this week, Genuine American Girl. And does Dennis play on that track along with Neil Smith and Michael Bruce? Are they all on that one?
The original guys, I mean, the great thing about the original band was when we did break up in 1974, it was after like seven albums in a row that were like huge albums. Right after Billion Dollar Babies and School's Out and Killer and Love It to Death, all those albums, we just wore out. I mean, we never took time off at all. And but we didn't break up with any bad blood. There was nobody was angry with anybody. Nobody was no lawsuits. Everybody stayed. It wasn't a divorce as much as it was a separation.
Yeah.
So when I took off and did Love It, Welcome to My Nightmare, and went on, we stayed in touch all the time. So it was no big. It didn't feel like a stretch of imagination to get Mike Dennis Neal in the studio in 2017 and say, let's just play live. Let's just play these new songs we wrote live and see if it sounds like Alice Cooper 1974.
Well, yeah, I think that track especially. And then there's one other one on Paranormal, I guess is maybe it's a bonus track. You and All Your Friends, that's another cut with the Neal
and
Dennis.
The original band, yeah. And, you know, so, the guys play exactly the same way they played before. Dennis is one of the best bass players in rock and roll. And Neil and Keith Moon used to do drum offs against each other all the time. And so, yeah, Mike was just one of those great, John Lennon type of hook players. So, you know, I mean, it just was very natural in the studio. It felt great.
Well, a friend of mine has told me that those guys, you did a show in Nashville recently, and after you get the guillotine comes down, you know, the curtain falls, curtain comes back up, and then those guys were on stage with you, and then you played several songs with them. And then my friend also told me that the plan is that those guys will be touring. You'll be touring with your current band and the older band. Is that right?
Yeah, through Britain. We're going to try it in England. Yeah, England was were the first guys that really discovered Alice Cooper. I mean, they were the first ones that really got what we were doing. And people thought we were a British band, actually, because the band broke over there, I think, before they broke over here. And so I said, if we're going to do this, let's do it only in England just to see how it works. So, you know, they cut up my head, and my touring band is unbelievable. They're one of the best bands I've ever seen in my life. And as soon as the curtain comes down, they're expecting me to come out and do the encore. School's out in 18 and all that. Curtain comes up, and it's the original band. And we do No More Mr. Nice Guy, Billion Dollar Babies, Genuine American Girl, and School's Out. And so the audience, you know, they're getting like two shows in one right then.
Right. You're going to try that out in the UK, and then you're going to do it here, right?
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I would love to do it. I think it's a great idea, you know, because those guys are as viable as they've ever been. They play great, you know. The great thing is about these guys is when I sing with the band, you know, my touring band, mm-hmm. it's pretty crisp and it's really sharp and it's, you know, when I sing with the original band, it's darker, it's dirtier. It's just everybody says you sing differently, and it's a different feel all the way.
Oh, that's very cool. Now, the track, Genuine American Girl, what I love, too, about it is that, man, with all your song writing, both the bands and afterwards, there's just this great sense of humor to it. And so often I feel like that's something that's missing in rock and roll. And it's something hard to work because a lot of people be quite pretentious about what they consider to be their art, and you know, a lot of contemporary rock related music is so humorless, you know, it's like I'm just gonna beat my head with a hammer or something, you know, please. So what's the role of humor to you in rock music?
You know, I'll tell you what it is. I've noticed that a lot of the newer sound right now is very introverted.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like a lot of the younger bands don't have swagger. They just don't have the attitude like the Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue. You know, I mean, those bands walked up on stage. They were rock stars, you know, and our generation, Alice Cooper, Bowie, and, you know, you walked on stage and you had to have a look. You had to have a walk, the whole thing. The funny thing about that song in particular was when we wrote it, it was I Want a Genuine American Girl. And I told Neil and Mike, I said, in 1972, would we have said that? We would have said, I want to be a genuine American girl just to piss off the parents, right?
Right.
So let's go with that one.
One more thing, I guess, about the older band and Dennis in particular. Now, he is listed as a co-writer on the track, The Sound of A. And my understanding is that song actually dates back to the 60s, the late 60s, at least. Is that right?
It was the craziest thing in the world. He, you know, Dennis brought in a couple of songs, and I listened to him, and he says, I want you to hear this one. And he puts it on. It's an old tape. And I listen to it and I go, wow, Dennis, I remember you wrote that song in 1968, 67. And he says, well, you got the time right. He said, but you wrote the song. I said, what? And he says, you picked up a guitar. You went in the other room. I might have been smoking something at the time. And I came back out with this song that with the chords and the melody and the verse and the whole thing. He says, you wrote this song in 1967 or 68. He says, and it was at a time when Pink Floyd was staying at our house because ran out of money and we ran out of money. So we were all living together in Venice, California. And so it does have a little Pink Floyd kind of feel to it. But it's so funny. I wrote that song 50 years ago. And Bob Ezrin heard it, and he goes, hey, what is that? That's really cool. And I said, oh, Bob, it's a song I wrote, 50 years ago. And he goes, well, we got to do that song. It's great.
Well, right. It's timeless. Great rock and roll is timeless. You mentioned Bob. So now you first worked with him, was it on Love It to Death. And you've continued to work with him. And the rest of the band, the rest of that band's tenure. And then also when you went solo, what's Bob got that keeps you guys working together?
You know, Bob is my George Martin. Bob is the kind of guy that he took the original band. And what George Martin did with the Beatles, he took all that rock, that talent, and put it into a package that worked. You know, that was something that we had the hooks. The band was great. The image was great. We just didn't have that radio sound. We didn't know how to arrange it to make it, to put it on the radio. Bob came in and he says, okay, we got to just chop this up, take that out, put this in. But, he arranged it so that it could actually be played on the radio. 18, he kept going, dumb it down, dumb it down, dumb it down, till finally it was so basic, the song 18, that when you heard it on the radio, it was powerful, being really basic. Yeah. We didn't get that. It took us a while to get that. But we learned from him. Bob Ezrin now, even if I'm not working with Bob, if I'm working with David Foster, if I'm working with Roy Thomas Baker or somebody like that, mm-hmm. I still write 10 songs and send them to Bob. And then he does the B section is not strong enough, or the choruses, it doesn't pay off, sends it back to me and I fix it. So I've been working with Bob since the very beginning. Love It to Death, I think, was the first Alice Cooper album, really, because Pretty's for You and Easy Action were songs that we wrote when we were the Nas. You know, not Todd Rundgren's Nas, but, we were called the Nas then. Uh-huh. So Love It to Death was actually the first songs that we wrote as Alice Cooper.
I didn't know that. I'm a Vincent Price fan. Vincent, a fine first name, as you know. His museum, his art museum, is real close to my house. It's just got kind of funky hours, so I hadn't been able to get over there. And he appears on your album, Welcome to My Nightmare. Or you guys also did a TV show together. I was wondering, did Vincent Price ever come to any of your shows? Seems like he would have enjoyed the theatrics.
He actually was in Welcome to My Nightmare. The very first two times we did the show, we did it up in Tahoe. It's sort of like off Broadway, We took it to a place to try it out, and we did it up at the Sahara Hotel in Tahoe, and he did the show with us. So he came on stage and did the spider, museum thing, and it was unbelievable to have Vincent Price on stage with us. Can you imagine how cool that was?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mind is, especially when I think of the theatrics that you bring to the performance, I would have to think it would be totally, totally into that.
Oh, are you kidding? He was so much fun. Let me tell you, he was one of those guys that, we sat there and we said, we need a voice that everybody's going to understand. That's going to a classic voice that when you hear it, you know who it is. And we were thinking Boris Karloff and this and this. And I said, well, really the only guy is Vincent Price. And we said, we're never going to be able to get him. We called him up. We got his number. And I called him up and I said, hey, listen, I'm doing this thing called Welcome to My Nightmare. I've got this curator for a spider museum. And he says, when do you want me there? And he shows up and he rewrites part of it. And then he did the video with us. He did the full length video of Nightmare with us. He recorded with us. He actually sang a couple of songs that never made the album with us. And we did it live with him. So he was part of the band for about a month.
Wow, that is cool. You know, our program director here in the Underground Garage, Kid Leo, he is, well, he's got quite a passion for golfing. And I've always heard you do as well. Is that true?
I play 6 days a week. I play every day. But, you know, I started playing golf when I quit drinking. And that was my trade-off. I had to, you know, I had to find an addiction that wasn't going to kill me. And every other addiction I had was killing me. So I finally stopped everything, and I found golf. I was a good baseball player, so I figured how hard could golf be, you know? And I got addicted immediately. And you got to be careful about golf because it's sort of the crack of sports. Once you once you hit a good shot down the middle, you are addicted to it. And you'd be surprised who plays. Bob Dylan plays. Neil Young plays. Iggy Pop plays. Lou Reed played when he was alive. Uh-huh. All the guys that you would never expect to play golf are the guys that play golf.
Well, you know, I've never played golf, but I'm thinking maybe that I used to be pretty fearsome with a putt-putt and mini golf, but somehow I don't think that's very helpful with real golf.
Well, that's where all the scoring is in putting. But, I mean, you still have to get the ball to the 350 yards down the fairway.
So you've never played with Kid Leo, though, have you?
Oh, yes, many times.
Really?
Kid Leo has got the most interesting, he does a little weird little dance before he hits the ball. And I can't even explain it.
I do not find that surprising, Alice.
Yeah, it is the strangest little thing you've ever seen. He goes back and forward and back, and then he hits it pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
So here's a question. So when the band ended and you said, you know, for the most part, I guess now we would refer to it as going on hiatus, right? You mentioned instead of a divorce, a separation. I think the term now is hiatus. But you continued on and you adopted the band's name as the stage name, as your solo performing name. There was some kind of licensing thing with that? Do you like the name?
You know, we never really... I heard that myself, and, you know, I don't do any business at all. I've been with Shep Gordon 48 years, my manager. Shep, you know, managed the original band, and he's been managing me. We've been together 48 years and still don't have a contract with each other. And I always let him do the business. I said, however you want to do it, Shep, I don't do business at all. I write songs and I perform. I said, so you take care of the business. If there's a licensing thing, that's cool. I could care less. You know, like I said, the band, Dennis, Neil, and Mike and I have always been close friends. Yeah. And I would never let money get in the way of that friendship. You know, what happened was the fact that I wanted to go on and do more theatrics. And I think the band was sort of hit a wall, you know, and just kind of went, we need to take a break. And I was too stupid to not take a break. You know, so I just kept going. And the Nightmare show almost killed me. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, but the most satisfying. And, I, you know, that's really when I should have gone to the hospital for alcoholism. But I just kept going. And it finally did put me in the hospital.
Well, I want us to get back to Paranormal, and I want us to take a listen to Holy Water. And really love the horns on there. Got this imagery of the full immersion, right? Going down to the River of Love, this love baptismal sort of thing. What's the story on Holy Water? How'd you come up with that song and decide to record it?
9 times out of 10, we write everything. We go into Bob and I and... Tommy Denanger and Tommy Hendrickson, my guitar player. We got in a room, started writing hooks, started writing great songs. We ended up over at Johnny Depp's house because Johnny was making movies. And in L.A., we wrote most of it over there at his studio. And then this song came in. This guy sent this song in, and it was Holy Water, but it was had a whole different storyline. And I said, I love this song because it sounds like something from New Orleans. It sounds like it would be one of those, you know, where they see the funerals in New Orleans with everybody walking down the street doing the, I said, I love that feel, but I need to apply it to Alice somehow, you know? And so the whole idea of, you know, black hat and a walking cane, I kind of described Alice and then going down the river of love, you know, there is a religious side to Alice Cooper also, you know, being Christian. And right. I just liked the combination. But to me, it was more like you said, the horns and the feel of it was this sort of really happy Pentecostal meeting of some sort. And it was so opposite of everything else we were doing. I said, this is going to sound great on the album because it's got its own life. It's got its own feel.
Yeah. Do you do that one live at all?
We haven't done this one live yet. We're just actually right now we're doing Paranoid Personality on stage, and we're just starting to do the Billy Gibbons thing that we did.
Fallen in love.
Can't get up. Yeah. And also they're learning right now. They're learning Genuine American Girl. So we're going to kind of rotate songs into the set right now that while we're on tour. This band is so good. They could learn a song a day and we could just rotate the songs in. So I think the next one is Genuine American Girl that we're going to be putting in the show.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned we're going to play Holy Water in a moment, but I'm glad you mentioned Fall in Love because that's another one of my favorites on there. And you know, so as I heard Falling in Love and I Can't Get Up, you know, I was thinking, oh, my God. In fact, I misthought it. I thought it was the clapper, you know. But
that's where it was built. It was built right on that. I kept watching that commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. And I kept thinking, I've fallen in love and I can't get up. It had a rhythm to it, you know.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Wrote the song and it sounded like a Texas Roadhouse boogie song, you know. It was a hard rock guitar song. And we looked at each other and said, Billy Gibbons. Yeah. I mean, there was nobody that was going to play this song better than Billy Gibbons. We called him up and I said, Billy, I said, look, you know, I said, listen to this and tell me if you like it. He says, I got the flu, Alice, but this song makes me feel better. And he did two takes of it, sent it back, and he was perfect. It was the perfect take. So, I mean, it was like built for him.
Man, excellent. So, Alice, man, thanks so much for taking time with me today to speak with me on our Coolest Conversations.
Hey, man, you know what? I do listen. I have your station is on my car at all times. And so I'm listening to Barr in the morning, and I'm listening to Stevie, and I'm listening to you, Leo, all the guys. So say hi to all the boys for me, all right?
I certainly will. And right now, here's Alice Cooper's Holy Water off of Paranormal, Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I got a top hat and a walking cane. I got a black cat on a golden chain. I got a white shirt with a bloody stain. Going to the river of love. She got long hair, big brown eyes. She belonged there. It was no surprise. Nothing wrong there. She made me realize. We're going to the river of love. We're going down to the river of love.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.